Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm so glad each of you are here today. Thank you for getting up early and making it here. Yay for us, yay. If you all would stand with me, I'd like to pray before we begin worship. Jesus, we just thank you for being here with us this morning, God. Lord, we ask that you will draw us into you today, that we will be able to put aside all our distractions, anything that might be weighing on us, and just feel your overwhelming peace and overwhelming love come over us, God. Lord, I pray that the words to all of these songs this morning will really resonate with our hearts, that we won't just sing them, God, but that we will declare them as offerings to you, Jesus. Lord, I just ask that your presence fill this place, God. In Jesus' name, amen. This first song is nice and fast and really fun, so don't be afraid to clap with me. I'm gonna need you.
Good.
We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you for who you are. We worship. Good.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen? His faithful love endures forever, and that's a great song to be able to sing together with all God's people. So we're glad you're here this weekend. I hope you've had a good weekend so far. I spent my Friday night over in Sonoma watching my first Annalee High School football game, and it was great. They whomped them. It was like 48-0. So it was great. Annalee played well, and we've got a player that goes to our church. His name is Ethan Wallace. He's number 53, plays offensive and defensive tackle. He had a great game. I was like proud to say, yeah, he goes to our church, you know. So it was awesome. So we're grateful that you're here. If you're watching with us via live stream, welcome. And we pray that no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, even if you're just exploring God in the Christian faith, we pray that you'll find a good place here to learn and to grow. Amen. And if you are new with us, we've got this gift for you, this travel mug. We'd love to give it away to you. Please fill out this card, and we'll exchange it on the way back outside in the lobby area after the service. We've got a special guest. You know what we just sang? It says, people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. We're gonna see two people who are coming from a long distance away, over 10,000 miles away. But I'm not going to give it away just yet. So let's go ahead and greet one another this morning.
Great job. Good morning. Good morning. They don't do greeting in the middle anymore. They do it all at the beginning because it would take too long.
All right, everyone, as much as we love the fellowship, and it is part of what God's people do according to Acts 2:42, we're going to ask you to find your seats, and we're going to continue our worship service. Let me make you aware of a couple of announcements. In about 3 to 4 weeks, we are going to be doing what's called a community serve day. You know, Jesus said when asked, he said, the Son of Man, he didn't come to be served. Jesus said he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we want to follow in his steps, and we want to serve. We want to let the community out there know that there's a God who loves them and a Savior who gave his life for them. Amen? So we're going to be volunteering on Saturday, November 4th. And if you have your smartphones or your calendars, whatever you mark down, please mark that down to be able to serve in the morning from 8:30 to 12:30. We have three different places where we're going to be serving. Brookhaven Middle School, doing some gardening. Habitat for Humanity, doing some cleanup of a lady's house who's got some code violations with the city. So we're helping her out as she's kind of disabled. And then the third place is at the Redwood Empire Food Bank, which, if you didn't know, is also where we volunteer as a serve team once a month, every fourth Wednesday. So please sign up for that. You can Choose which place you want to serve. In fact, I'd like you to write that down. I'd like you to put your name and then say, hey, I'm going to serve at the food bank, or I'm going to serve at the school. Something like that on the side. That would be very helpful. All right, so that's coming up. Serve Day, November 4th. Also, I don't see Gary, so I'll make the announcement for him. Should have brought my club out here to tee off because they're having a men's golf tournament coming up in October 21st. So it's only a week from this next weekend. So we want you guys to sign up for that. It's going to be over at Bennett Valley Golf Course. It's not that expensive. I think it's $43 for the whole round. And you can sign up at the front table for that. It's a great time for guys to get together. The best news for me is that it's called a best ball scramble, which means no matter how bad a golfer you are, if you hit a terrible shot, you don't have to use that shot. So it's like, great, I love that. That's the kind of golf I need to play. Because I'm the guy who comes out with the high score. I get my money's worth. I get more strokes than anybody out there. You golfers will know what that means. All right, nominations. Nominations are coming up for our church officers. We're going to have a congregational meeting sometime in December. We're going to be voting on new church officers. There's four kinds. There's deacons, deaconesses, there's elders, and there's board of director members. And nominations are coming for that in the next couple of weeks. What we'd like you to do is do us a favor. Make sure that if you're going to nominate somebody for a position, please talk with them and ask, say, hey, I'm thinking about nominating you. If you were elected, would you serve? And if they say yes, then go ahead and nominate them. If they say no, then just drop it, okay? Because if they're not willing to serve, it's not worth nominating, if that makes sense. All right? One other announcement, this Wednesday night, I don't know if you guys like military bands and patriotic music, but Wednesday night at Weill Hall over there, I think it's over near Sonoma State in Roanoke Park, they're going to have a great concert, and the Bells and Bows, bells meaning the beautiful ladies and the bows meaning the guys, they're going to be going in a bus leaving here at 6:30 p.m. If you want to be a part of that, sign up or talk to Linda Twitchell, as she has all the tickets for that, all right? All right, let's stand, everybody, and let's continue to worship our great God.
never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Thank you, God, for your faithfulness, Jesus, that you'll never let us down, God. I just want us to sing that again. And I just ask that that be our prayer, that we pray that God reveals new ways that he's faithful in our lives, that our eyes will be open to seeing those ways that he reveals himself to us. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good, oh, you are good. Good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, Jesus, we just ask that you meet us here right now, God. Just still our hearts so we can hear you, Jesus.
We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the wind of your feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Again.
We feel the rain of your love.
that you will reveal yourself to us more, that we will hear you more. Receiving that. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to worship you, God. Can we all just bow our heads for a moment and close our eyes? And I just want us to send up a prayer of thanks to Jesus that we get to worship him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to experience parts of your heart through worship.
Please be seated. You know, when I was singing that song, Let It Rain, trying to understand the metaphor, the spiritual metaphor that we're talking about, letting the wind of the Spirit blow on us and letting the rain from heaven come down on us. I thought about letting it rain and letting the Spirit of Christ come and fill my heart. You know, Lord Jesus, I want more of your love. I want more of your grace. I want to see people the way you see them. I want to see people with the potential that you see in them. I want to see your mercy more in my life. I want to see that truth where I can distinguish between what is real and what is false, between what I should really be pursuing in life and the things that I just need to let go of. So I wanted more of that, and I hope you did too. As we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, I want to read a scripture from John's Gospel in chapter 6. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men and then another probably 15,000 women and children. And he is talking about being the bread of life. And he says this in verse 47. He says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." You know, this was the second of three times where Jesus says in this passage, "I am the bread of life." Jesus talking about being the real heavenly bread, the one who brings true life-sustaining sustenance to our lives. And he does this comparison. He compares Jesus himself as the bread of life with the manna that God provided, Both were miracles. God miraculously provided this manna 6 days a week for the children of Israel in the desert for 40 years. And they ate of that bread. And yet, even though they ate of the miracle bread from heaven, they died. And Jesus said, unlike that bread where somebody eats from that and dies, Jesus, if we partake of him, if we bring in his life into our life, we will live forever. And so now as we take this sacrament, this communion, this Lord's Supper, that represents Jesus' broken body and the juice that represents his blood shed for us. As we take it today, we lift up his body, we lift up his blood, and we say, Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life. You are the one that we need to give us life. Not just forgiveness for our sins, but life. That life that you came to offer us, the eternal life, so that we might have it to the full. So Lord Jesus, we pray that we would lift you up today as our bread of life. We lift up the cup, we lift up the bread. We say, Lord, you are the one who sustains us. You are the one who gives us the life-sustaining nourishment that we need every day. And we worship you and we honor you. Thank you for coming down from heaven and coming to earth so that you could show us the way back to God. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Time of giving our tithes and offerings, and I'm quoting from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we have to give to you today so that we can pray the prayer, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But Lord, thank you that you also give us the means to contribute to seeing that your kingdom will come here on earth. And so, Lord, we pray that you would Receive these tithes and offerings that we give to you with cheerful hearts and use them to extend your kingdom work here in Sebastopol and throughout the world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, and now it is my honor and privilege. You know, it's not every day you get to meet a modern day hero, and I'm running into two of them. I get to sit in the same row as these guys. They're coming all the way 10,000 plus miles away, over 30 hours. If you were to drive to San Francisco Airport and get on an airplane, the shortest amount of time it would take to get to where they do their mission work is about 35 hours. So as modern as our transportation is, it's still going to take a while to get there. They're coming a long distance. If you had to walk a ways, you know, because of the parking situation with the firehouse and their breakfast, you had to walk a ways to get here. Can you imagine coming over 10,000 miles to get to church? It's awesome to have Major Medici and Kathy McCarty here with us today. So Major's going to go first. Let's welcome them both today.
I want to thank you for introducing us. It's always nice for me to be here. Actually, Sebastopol has been like home for me. It's like home from home, home away from home. You know, when I first came in 1998 at this church, I did not understand how much Sister Makate has given up to work with us in Zimbabwe. Because when you are there, you don't know. You think everything is the same. But when I came here, my eyes were opened. I began to realize how much she had given up. Like, she took me to one of the biggest shops, and I was like standing in one shop with aisles of bread. I was looking and I was like perplexed. But I began to understand that she has given her life to work with us so that the word of God may reach the people who have not heard it, and the lives of people who are ministered through health, through hospital, will be reached. The churches, right now, we have more people who pass through the hospital than in our churches. So we are able to minister to a lot of people through the hospital, and then we have been able to start a lot of churches. Right now, we have 62 churches that we are ministering, and we are only... Sorry? Oh, yes. Praise God. Yes. We have 62 churches which we are now ministering to because of the hospital, that we're able to start. People who come to the hospital, they hear the word of God, they go home, they want to start a church, they want to establish a church. So now there are 10 ministers who are working in these 62 churches. And out of those 10 ministers, I want to thank you, because some of the people in this congregation have taken upon themselves to support these ministers. Now they are getting a monthly allowance for working with the churches, which is actually helping them greatly with their families and some of the needs that they need to get. This year, we were able to purchase some motorbikes for the ministers so that they can, you know, go to different churches, because each minister work with more than 5 churches. So they have to move from each week to the next one. And it was difficult to move to these churches with foot, or taking a bus, or using a bicycle. But this last April, we were able to get some motorbikes, which now they are using to go to these churches. It was hard. Gary had to go through lessons and lessons to teach them, because some of them have never been on a motorbike. And a number of them, two actually fell right at the mission when they were trying to ride, because when you panic, the gas is on the hand. So what happens? Woo! But none was badly hurt. But right now, they are able to ride this motorcycle and go to places, and it has been a great help for them. They are actually happy to do the word of God when it becomes easier for them also to reach to other places. And I want to thank you, because you are actually making that possible. All that we are doing is because of you. If you were not here, and if you were not for those people, some of you have not even been in Zimbabwe, have never met them, so it's actually difficult, but you have actually been very supportive in the work of Chidamoyo. And you have been very supportive for the hospital and the churches. Right now, in August, we had our annual conference where we bring all the churches from all the 62 churches to come and encourage them and hear the word of God. And we had a big gathering of the people, which means people still love God. Even when you hear about Zimbabwe and the problems and everything, but the church is continuing to grow. And we praise God for that. And we still continue to ask you to continue supporting us so that the word of God will continue to grow in Zimbabwe. Thank you very much.
As Major said, it's great to be home. I feel lucky in my life in that I have two homes. I have a home in Zimbabwe and I have a home in America. So when we get to heaven, I'm not sure which side I'll be on. But I'll have lots of Zimbabweans to introduce you to. It's really, really good. This has been a short visit, unfortunately, but it's very difficult when you have a hospital to run, to be away for very long. The good thing is that we now have FaceTime and internet, so we can be on the phone every day to the hospital. And they tend to call us when they get to work in the morning, which is at night, our time. So right now, during this time, our Sunday night service is going on. And our Sunday night service is a really special service because we meet at the hospital so the patients can be involved. And we have all of our waiting mothers, who are around 70 to 80 people, come and they sing every Sunday night a special music, and they dance. And they dance hard because they want to deliver their babies. So they think the harder they dance, the sooner the baby will come. So it's quite entertaining to come. I'd like to speak this morning about being happy in bad times. And I want to read from 1 Peter, starting with verse 3 and going through verse 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which persists even through perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I live in a country where we suffer grief every day. A psychiatrist once said, if you live in Zimbabwe and you're not depressed at times, you are not normal. We live in a country that has set many records. Unfortunately, the records are not great records that you'd want to be proud of, but we live in a country that had the highest inflation rate in the world. And we lived in a country that we got up to a $100 trillion bill in 2009. And that $100 trillion bill was worth less than $1 US. So you can imagine how many $100 trillion bills you have to carry to buy anything. And that was after they had taken 25 zeros off the money. So I don't know what 25 plus trillion would be. We kept Googling all the time to see what our money was going to be. In 2016, the government, in 2009, we went to the US dollar. So the US dollar was our currency. And in 2016, it was difficult to get cash. They were running out of cash in the country. They weren't exporting, so there was no money coming into the country. And so they came up with a brilliant idea that we would make up a money and call it bond, because they didn't want to say Zim dollars, because everyone has their views of the Zim dollar that got to 100 trillion. So we'll psychologically call it something else. We'll call it bond. And we'll tell everyone the same as the US money. So now we work on this money now. It's a $2 and a $5. And this is what it means. It's like drawing a picture of a piece of chicken and saying, I've decided this is chicken, and I will eat it for dinner, and it will taste the same as chicken because I said so. So this is two US dollars, But of course, you can't take it outside the country, because if I used it here, everyone would say, that's not a true U.S. dollar bill. But so it can only be used in the country. Quickly, long lines began to form at the banks because they wanted to get some money. But again, they used up the money very quickly, faster than they could print it. And so they began to limit, you can get $30 a week out of your bank account. So that means that you can spend 3 hours to get $30. And it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. But the good news is we're a cashless society, so we're way ahead of you guys. We use a card for everything. If you go to buy petrol, you swipe. So we're called a swiping country. If you buy at the grocery store, you swipe. Even the guy on the street that sells 3 tomatoes has a machine that you can swipe and get your 3 tomatoes. So it's amazing. The government is so broke that they decided that under fives should be treated free, and all over 65 should be given free health care, because that sounds good to people and they're going to vote for us if we say that. And so they decided that, but of course they haven't given the hospitals any money to provide that care. So I guess our government could try that here. They just say it happens. And for the last 2 years, we have not received a single penny from the government to help us with our expenses. And although they pay for most of our staff at the hospital and give them their money, we are supposed to get $4,500 a month quarterly to provide for maternity care and under fives. And we found out very quickly that sometimes there's only 2 quarters in a year. Sometimes there's 3. So we're not quite sure what quarterly means. AIDS is estimated to now be at 16.8% of the population in 2016, which is from a high of 33% in the year 2000. However, it's been predicted there's not enough money to treat all the patients in Africa that need HIV medicine, and that Africa probably has 60% resistant to first-line medicine. This is a picture of one of our youth support groups. So these children were all born with AIDS, and they come every 3 months for a special support meeting with us. Our roads are not very good in Zimbabwe. I know people are complaining about the potholes in Sonoma County. This is our potholes, so I don't want to hear any complaints. My sister-in-law was saying, oh, it's rained, it's so terrible, our potholes are bad. If you bury your car in a pothole in Zimbabwe, you'll never get out again. This is our potholes, and getting to town and bringing supplies is always a challenge in the vehicles. The saying in Zimbabwe is you can tell a drunk driver because he drives straight. Our churches have had some problems in the last 2 years when some people have decided they want to divide our group and become a denominational set up with the people up on top are going to decide for the churches what they should do. I want to read again verses 6 and 7. In this greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to you so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which persists even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Many times I ask myself, what do we have to rejoice in? I told Major, you know, I lived through the Zim dollar once. I don't think I can do that again. And it looks like we're heading that way. But you know, we have lots to be praised for. God has kept our hospital running and thriving through difficult financial times. People look to Chittimoyo because they have heard of our good works, and even if they don't know the hospital, many people will tell them to go there for help. In Harare, there's a bus terminus called Mbari, and it's a place where people go to get a bus to go anywhere in the country. And many times we've asked our patients, "You're from far away, how did you come here?" And they said, "If you go to Mbari and you ask somebody, 'I'm sick, where should I go?' they will tell you, 'Go to Chittimoyo Hospital.' If they can't help you, go home and die." And I said, "Well, that's not exactly true, but..." So people come to us, and we live in Mashonaland West Province. There's 11 provinces in the country, and we are the largest district in that province. We serve a patient population of about 330,000 people, and we are the only other hospital besides in town, in Kuroi Town, there's a government hospital. So in our area, there's not much health care. We are a referral hospital for clinics that are over 5 hours away by truck. So if somebody goes into labor and needs a C-section in that area, they travel 5 hours till they get to us. AIDS at Chittimoyo has decreased to 5%, even though the country is 16.5. Our general population in our area is 5%. And for women who are pregnant, we've decreased to 2.5% of the population, where in the year 2000, it was 22%. This is some of my kids that were born with AIDS who are on medication, and they are holding up their medication. But we are proud to say that no baby has been born at Chittimoyo Hospital for the last 21 months who has been infected with AIDS. We were the first hospital in Zimbabwe to achieve that, and we hope that the end of this year, it will be 2 years. Nobody has achieved that, but we have been able to achieve that because of God and His help. We have 62 churches, as Major said, in our area, and we are responsible for those churches, Major is, and the 10 evangelists that work under him. And even though it's very difficult times in Zimbabwe, people are getting stronger in the church because of the difficulty. We just concluded our annual conference where the 62 churches come to Chittimoyo. This is the picture that you see of how crowded it is, but it reminds me of biblical times because actually we have people in the window sitting trying to get into the church. And some of our churches are in a different language. We speak Shona in our area, but some of our churches 10 hours away speak a language called Tonga, which isn't even close to Shona. And so we have to sing and preach and translate in different languages, but the people enjoy their fellowship and time together. And they see the hope that the church has given to people through these meetings. God has used non-Christians to make us even stronger. At times we complain and say, "We don't get enough support. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this?" And you know what? God uses non-Christians even to help us become stronger. We work with the UK group that sponsors rural schools in our area. They have come to us over the last 15 years that we've worked with them, and they ask us where they can build a school and develop it. And they have built 5 schools in our area, and we recommend to them the areas that are needed to have a school, and we recommend where we have churches already. And they have brought water and books to these areas, and we've been able to now have a building to meet in. We also have a brand new waiting mother shelter, this is it, that was where people can come for their last month before delivery to wait in the hospital, in a shelter. Those are the beds that you see that they're provided. They bring their own food, their own blankets, and they cook for themselves. And they're supposed to come about a month before so that they have plenty of time to be there for a safe delivery. Some people, they like to be away from their husbands and kids for a longer amount of time, so they might come 2 months before. this was built by a crewing club from Seattle who chose us to build this project. They came over a period of 6 weeks with 15 people per week coming to build it. They put it all together. They brought it in a container and put it together. And our delivery rate has increased 40% since we now have this new waiting mother shelter. So we don't know whether we should thank them or we shouldn't thank them. CDC, which is in Atlanta, and PEPFAR, which is the President's Initiative for AIDS Funds in Africa, which was established by President Bush, has recognized our outstanding AIDS program and has paid us to have 4 nurses and furniture and helped given us stationery and diesel to go for our art outreach programs. And so this is paid for by your US tax dollars, so we want to thank you for that. A third doctor joined us just 5 days before we left to come here. He's Dr. Moyo. And we're happy that the government recognized the need for another doctor for our hospital. I worked for 9 years when I first went with no doctor at all. And so to suddenly have 3 doctors at our hospital has been amazing for me. I tried to convince them I could sit at home and watch TV, but they haven't fallen for that yet. Hospitals in the US donate lots of supplies and equipment. And I'm sure many of you have been involved with Sue and Jean Beckstead, whose garage is continually our storage room. And I don't think they'll ever have an empty garage that they can park a car in because it has stuff. People bring things to them. They go and collect things from lots of hospitals, from St. Helena to Healdsburg to everywhere, who think of us and save equipment for us. While we were in Seattle 2 weeks ago, we went to a place called Sonic Care, and they provided 2 brand new ultrasound machines for us that we get to take back to Zimbabwe. And they both fit in a carry-on bag, and so when we went through Seattle Airport with 2 ultrasounds, they kind of looked at us very funny what our carry-on equipment was. I said, you never know when you need an ultrasound on the plane. Our laundry and kitchen, as most of you remember, burned down in November 2013. And I had been praying for a new kitchen because ours was very old and decrepit and not safe and clean. And you gotta watch out what you pray for. I didn't expect God to burn the old one down, but he did burn it down, and the government gave us the money to rebuild our kitchen. And even though they have money for nothing else, they did take their promise and build our kitchen. So as you can see, we have a brand new dining room and also the kitchen on the right. And since we've been here, we've gotten the stove and 2 sudsa pots, electrical sudsa pots installed, and a hood for the stove. So we hope to be opening the kitchen officially when we get back. We are also involved in 2 research projects with Stanford University, and through them we've been able to prove to them that faith-based organizations have better outcomes and care than other organizations that are not faith-based. And that's been quite amazing to them. We also have been very active in taking medical students from all over the world and teaching them third world medicine, but also as a witness to Christianity and having them exposed to praying with patients and praying during operations. We pray a lot during operations because sometimes we get into things we don't know what we're doing. And this year we had medical students from the U.S., from the U.K., from New Zealand, and Poland as visitors. And then, out of the blue, about 2 months ago, the Japanese embassy called and said, we have a digital x-ray machine that we'd like to give to a hospital. Are you interested? And we had actually been looking into that as a project. And so we talked to them, and I said, well, let me think. Yes. And so we've been working on things that we need to present to them. They've come out. They made a site visit. It's all gone to Japan now for them to consider, but it looks like we'll be getting a $93,000 digital x-ray, which instead of now having to do all of the big x-rays and films, we can put it on digitally, we can print it out just like taking a digital photograph, and it will cost our patients now $5 to get an x-ray instead of $20, which will make a big difference to us. We are told in Peter to have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even though we can't have hope in our governments, there's no hope in our economy, we are 90% are unemployed in Zimbabwe. Try and get elected as a president if you have 90% unemployment rate. And we wonder how people can survive in a world without a living hope. But we are promised in 1 Peter that have an inheritance that will never fail. It will never perish. It will never fade or spoil. And no matter what governments do to us, no matter what circumstances bring to our life, we have an inheritance promised to us because of Jesus Christ. We need to keep reminding ourselves that God is working out his purpose in all things. It's not easy. We grumble. You can ask Major if I grumble. I grumble very loudly. And we all complain, but we keep reminding ourselves that joy awaits us. We need to believe and then see, not see and then believe. Many people in our country, before they go to traditional medical care, they seek prophets who say, you don't need to go to the hospital. I can heal you right here. They want to see and then they'll believe. Some days it seems like our prayers only go as far as the level of the ceiling, and we all have hard times. But do we rejoice or do we grumble? Life in Zimbabwe seems to have no hope. We get discouraged because we need to have money to run a hospital, and we know the government is not giving us the money. So I go to Major and I tell him, I need to buy some medicine. And he'll say, how much money do you need? And I'll say, oh, how much do you think I can have? So he'll say, oh, you can have 1,000. I said, oh, okay. So I go and I order, and then I come and tell him, well, it was a little over 1,000. I think it was like 2,300 something. And he's like, what? But you know what? God always seems to provide for us. When we need it, we get the funds, and every time we are able to provide. Sometimes we have to order at one company and then go buy some more at another company until we have enough money to pay that one off. But God provides us that time. We are thankful for your support here for us. We couldn't survive without it. We are lucky in that we have U.S. dollars still that we can use and get things for the hospital. And you care about a country and sick people many of you have never met or seen. When we come to America, it's quite a culture shock for us. Life in America, we think, is too boring and predictable. You know, you have electricity. When you turn a light on, you have electricity. We sometimes go and turn the light on and we're like, where's the electricity? When did it go out? And then you don't know when it's coming back or what's happening. We have traffic signals that you come to, and they're not working on your side, but you don't know if they may be working on the other side. So you kind of go halfway in the intersection. Oh, theirs is working. I better get out of here. So it's always exciting. You never know what might happen. As Major said, you come here, you have all these different choices to make. You have a whole roll of just bread. In Zimbabwe, you have brown bread or white bread. That's it. How many rolls do you need for that? So we went to Seattle, and we went out shopping, and our friend said to Major, what do you want to eat for breakfast? So he said, I want some English muffins. So we went to a store, and she's going through 10 different English muffins, saying, well, this one has this much sodium, this one has this much carbs, this one has this much sugar. And he said, I don't care, I just want the muffin. Any kind. And the more sugar, the better. We have a game to count, that we count how many roadblocks between Chittimoyo and Harare, which is our main capital. It's only 250 miles, but we've gone up to 22 roadblocks in that amount of time. They try to find something wrong with your car so that they can make some money. When you send a driver to the grocery store each week, because our store is 3 hours one way away, so you can't take a day off from work just to go grocery shopping, it's amazing sometimes what you get. I ordered cream one day, and I told him, you know, I want cream, it's in the section next to the milk. And he came home with ice cream, because it said cream on it, but not in a cool box, so I got melted ice cream. And then one time I said, I want butter. And most of the time they buy margarine, so I said, it says butter on it, it doesn't say margarine. And so he came home with peanut butter, because it said butter on it. One of our missionaries came from the States, you know, in the States we call Coke soda. So he said, I want a case of 24 soda. So he sent his bottles in, and he came back, and the guy had brought in 24 boxes of baking soda. And he said, where's my soda? And he's like, it's right there. What did you want? You ordered soda. Some of you have come here today without hope, but I have hope for you. This church has hope for you, and Jesus Christ has hope for you. And if you are here today without hope and you need hope, we want you to come forward and talk to the minister, talk to us, and we can tell you what real hope is. We thank you for being partners with us and helping us to have hope. Many times we get discouraged and we remember you through it. We know you are praying for us every day because we feel it. And we pray for you and for the church here, because we know that you need to have hope too. And so we thank you for being so faithful to us. I first went from this church in 1972 for a year to Zimbabwe. And then I came home and became a nurse and went again in 1981. So I've been there full time since 1981. So most of my life has been spent in Zimbabwe, but I still feel lucky that I have two homes and you're the home here that we have. Many times we sit around at lunch on Sunday and we'll talk about, remember when we were at Sebastopol and all the good food? He talks about all the good food that we have at our potlucks. Or last night there were cookies after church. He was the most ecstatic person there was, cookies. And Holly packed him a go-away bag. And this morning we came, there's coffee and donuts. He was like so excited. Like I said, could you imagine how many coffee and donuts we'd have to have for our churches? But we'd have a lot more people, that's for sure. So thank you for always continuing to support us and encourage us. And so many of you have helped in so many ways. And many of you have come to Chidamoyo. That's a big encouragement to us. And we pray that you will continue to come. On January 21st, 2018, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Chidamoyo Christian Hospital. And we have been encouraging people to come, especially our churches that have supported us through the years. And we have some people, a lot of people that are coming. We're not quite sure where they're all going to sleep yet, but they're coming. And we're happy that you're sending Holly to be with us for that and represent Sebastopol Christian Church. And we are just excited to be able to celebrate 50 years. Many people from the government are coming and will be celebrating with us. It will be a special church service that we will have so that we can give emphasis to praising God for the work that's been done. And the original missionary who dedicated the hospital in 1968 will be there to preach the sermon. So we're very excited about that. And we have some of the original dedication, and we're going to use it again. So we pray that it will be a witness to many people. You should come, because it's probably going to be like a 4 to 5 hour church service. Not your usual American church service. So we thank you, and we continue to covet your prayers and your support, and thank you for all you've done in 37 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Major. And we are so excited about what God is doing through you and your ministry. And we promise that we're going to continue to lift you up in prayers as well as financially support you. Choir, I understand you guys have a great song to sing, so come on up. I know you've dedicated it to Kathy and Major in honor of them, and I think they're going to like it. And just one other thing as choir is arriving, I believe that Kathy sends regular updates via emails to Patty and Gary LaDon. If you would like to get those updates, you can contact Patty via right now or via her email, and she will put you on the list of those who get those email updates so that you can know what's going on up to the moment and be able to pray specifically for what's going on with the mission work there. So let's hear from the choir.
Thank you.
All right, praise the Lord. Thank you, choir, for that trip down memory lane for Mimi Aras. I remember growing up, kids, if you didn't grow up in church, a lot of those songs are what we sang every Sunday morning in Sunday school. Hey, welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. We're so glad you're here. You got a taste of our rowdy choir. And not all the songs are that long, but they certainly are always that enthusiastic. Amen? So glad to have you here. If you're joining us via live stream on the internet, welcome. And wherever you are in your spiritual journey, if you're just exploring the Christian faith, finding out what it means to have a living relationship with God through Jesus, we want to welcome you here, and we're glad that you joined us. Hey, let me make you aware of a few announcements real quick. The first Saturday of November, November 4th, is going to be our Community Serve Day. You know, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So we want to model that. We want to be servants out in our community to let them know that God cares about them. So we have three different projects that we're going to be serving on that Saturday morning, November 4th. The first one is at a food bank, Redwood Empire Food Bank. The second one is at a school, Brookhaven Middle School, going to be doing some landscaping, some gardening. And the third one is in Santa Rosa. It's with Habitat for Humanity. It's helping to clean up a house and a backyard of a needy disabled person. So I'd love for you to sign up for that and put your name on the sign-up sheet after the service. And also, if you have a place where you say, this is the place where I want to volunteer of these three, please indicate that, one of the three. All right. Now, just coming up in about 2 weeks or less, about 13 days from now, is going to be our men's annual golf tournament. And it's going to be at Bennett Valley Golf Course. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I get my money's worth out there. I get more strokes than anybody. But the beauty of it is it's going to be a best ball scramble. You don't even have to be a great golfer. You just want to get out there and have a great time with the guys. So you can sign up for that on the back table in the front entrance after the service as well. Hey, church officer nominations are coming up. Did you know that we have four different officers in this church? We have elders, we have deacons, we have deaconesses, and we have members of the board of directors. So we're going to be doing nominations for that in the next couple of weeks. The only thing that I would ask you is make sure that before you nominate somebody for a position, make sure you ask them and say, hey, if you were elected to this position, would you be willing to serve? And if they say yes, then go ahead and nominate them. And then finally, we have a special trip with our Bells and Bows. Has anybody ever been on one of those Bells and Bows trip? It's usually a group of seniors or seasoned citizens, as I like to call them. They're going out this Wednesday night. They're going to go see a kind of a military band and a concert over at Wild Hall in Roanoke Park. And I'm going to be going. And if you'd like to go, you can talk to Linda Twitchell or sign up also after the service. So, you guys have been sitting long enough. It's time to stand up and greet one another this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm so glad you all are having wonderful fellowship with each other. I'm going to ask you to find your seat as we're going to begin worship. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for being here with us this morning, God. I just want to thank you for each and every person that is here today. Lord, I pray that you will touch each of us individually and speak to us exactly where we need to hear it, God. That our hearts will be open to you, that our ears will be open to hearing you, that we'll tune all the other noise out, all the other voices, so we can hear you. Lord, I pray that you'll just fill this place with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and stand with me.
gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh.
Jesus, we just want to thank you, God, for being faithful and showing up here, Lord, to be with us. Lord, we just want to worship you right now, Jesus. Help us put everything aside, God, everything aside that may be preventing us from fully worshiping you, God. I just want to take a moment, if we can all close our eyes. And I just want you to focus on if there's something that's holding you back right now from meeting Jesus right here. I just want you to take that and give it to Jesus. Just release that to him. God is so faithful to meet you where you are. He's so faithful. Jesus, we just ask that you take these things from us, God, our distractions, any worries, any stresses. Just pray that you take those away right now so in this moment we can be with you fully. Here. Jesus, we just open our arms to you right now, God. If you're comfortable, let's outstretch our arms to Jesus. Just ask him for more. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray your spirit will rain down in this place, God. Your love will rain down in this place.
Please be seated. As I was singing that praise song, Let It Rain, I was asking for God to pour out his spirit in my life and just say, Lord, less of me and more of you. And Jesus, I want more of your love in my life. I want more of your mercy in my life. I want more of your grace, that I would see people the way that you see them. That, Lord, I want more patience when I'm tempted to just get frustrated or throw in the towel or, you know, lose patience with somebody. Give me more of that patience, Lord. Give me more courage. Give me more boldness to speak up for you. Give me more of your truth. Show me what's real and what's fake in this world that I live in. What should I focus on? So, Lord, I just pray, let it rain. And I hope you did too. As we prepare for communion this morning, I'm going to ask those who are going to be serving to come on up and be ready for that. I want to read to you a passage from John's Gospel, chapter 6. Beginning in verse 47, Jesus is talking about being the bread of life. He says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate the manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and never die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." So Jesus is now making this comparison. He's calling himself the bread of life. He's saying that he came down from heaven. Before Jesus incarnated himself as the Son of Man, God sent another miraculous bread from heaven. It was called manna, and it fed the children of Israel every day, 6 days a week for 40 years when they were wandering through the desert. And Jesus said, even though that was miracle bread, everyone who ate that bread, they still died. But Jesus says, now I'm the bread come down from heaven, and whoever eats this bread, whoever takes it in, is going to receive the eternal life sustenance that Jesus gives us when we bring him into our lives, when we ask him to come in as our Savior and our Lord and our Master, and the one whom we follow, the one whom we love. Lord, we lift up this piece of bread to you and this cup, this communion that we're about to take. Lord, we're reminded that it is an emblem representing your broken body for us, your shed blood for us, a reminder that you really are the bread of life, that when we recognize who you are and when we take you in, Lord, that eternal life, that nourishment that we need for our souls is going to be there every single day, forever, And so we praise you and we thank you for this privilege of sharing in this moment with you. And we pray in your name. Amen. Portion of scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says these words: "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need." So I think there's two things that God wants us to do when we give. First of all, he wants us to give cheerfully, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. And then secondly, he says, when you give out of the proportion of what God has blessed us, he wants us to give generously, because he likens it to a farmer who's planting seeds. And he says, the one who sows abundantly, the one who sows generously, is going to reap generously. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to continue our worship. And as a part of our worship to you, we give to you with cheerful hearts. We give to advance your kingdom. And Lord, we ask that these seeds that we sow generously today, that they will reap a harvest for your kingdom, whether it is here in Sebastopol or all the way in Zimbabwe. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
darkness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
I'm really excited this morning to be able to introduce two living heroes to you this morning. Kathy McCarty and Major Medeke are here to visit with us, to tell about what God is doing in and through their lives and mission work in Zimbabwe, in the southern continent of Africa, and I'm thrilled to have them here. Kathy told me earlier that she left for Africa back in 1981, and she's been there mostly ever since. So that's amazing to me. 1981, I was a freshman in college. I couldn't find which way was up in 1981. And she's left, and she's gone to do this amazing work for God and just given her life, her career, to build God's kingdom there in Zimbabwe. So we're going to hear from Major Medeke first, and then we're going to hear from Kathy. But I want you to give a very warm Sebastopol welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for introducing us to this congregation. It is always nice to be back because Sebastopol, I find it to be home away from home. Home for me, away from home. I always feel welcome when I'm here in Sebastopol. You know, I did not understand the commitment for Sister Makata when she came to Zimbabwe when I started working with her in 1991 until I came to the States in 1998. When I came to the States, I then truly understand how she was committed to work in Zimbabwe. Because there are so many choices here. She had to give up so many choices here. When I came, I was shocked to see aisles of bread. Like yesterday, we went to eat at Mary's. I think it's this way. the guy, he said, "What do you like to eat?" I said, Parmesan chicken. And so the guy was asking, but he was speaking very fast, and you know my English is not that good. And I had to listen very careful to hear what he was saying. He said, soup or salad, I think he said soup or salad, or salad or soup. I said, "What?" And said, "Salad or soup." I said, "Oh, sour soup, okay." He said, no. "Salad or soup?" I said, "Okay, I'll take soup." And then, you know, they will ask you, like, "What would you like in your soup?" All these kind of things. So there's so many choices here. The houses are air conditioned. You know, in Zimbabwe, if it's hot, you open the doors and windows. That's all you can get. If there's hot air coming in, you close all the windows. That's all you can get. But here the houses are, you know, air conditioned and everything. So I began to understand the commitment that Sister Makate had to work in Zimbabwe. We have more people who pass through the hospitals than in our churches. And because of the people who are passing through the hospitals and ministered to, we have been able to start 62 churches around the mission. And there are 11 of us ministers ministering to these churches, which are around the mission, and about 10 hours to go to the furthest churches. And this last April, we have been able to get motorbikes for the ministers, and this was something that really motivated the ministers much. Thanks to Gary. Gary had to go through lessons with them, what to do, where to go. And actually, two fell when they were learning. Because when you get on to something and you are going and you panic, the gas is on the hand. So you panic, you go, "Woo!" So there were a number of accidents, but none was fatal. No one was hurt. It's just the learning experience. So he was very helpful in teaching the ministers on how to use these motorbikes. Now it is easier for the ministers now to move from one church to another, because now they are mobile, because each minister works with more than 5 churches. And before, it was difficult to move from one church to another, because you know, either you have to walk, or you use public transport, or you have to use a bicycle. So it was becoming very, very difficult. But now it's easier, and more people are being reached. And now we can also go and do funerals. We can attend to other functions because we can move. So I want to thank you for that, because that kind of support is what is helping the word of God to continue in Zimbabwe. And I would like to thank also some of the people in this congregation who have taken upon themselves to support the ministers financially. It is a great help. You know, life in Zimbabwe is very difficult. And without any support, it will be even more hard to survive. But because this church has people who love the God and who love to see the word of God going and prospering, they've given this financial support to the ministers. Now they are able to send their children to school, buy some food for their family, which is a great help. Always when I'm going with Sister Makati, we travel together, and she speaks Shona. That's one advantage that she has in Zimbabwe. She learned the native language, and she's able to speak that language. So people ask me, she said, "Who is that white lady who's speaking in Shona?" Because Shona is our language. And I said, "She's my sister." And they said, "Oh, yes, I can tell." So I was having a haircut, and this lady was, after they cut your hair, they wash your hair. Your head. She said, "I can tell from your head." I said, "Oh no, we have the same father, different mothers." And still she didn't get it. She said, "Oh, I can tell." So I want to thank you for your support. And we are able to do what we are doing in Zimbabwe because of you. And if it were not because of you, some of the things that we are doing would not even do it. Thank you very much.
This is home, and it feels so good to be home. We are so happy to be here. It's a short visit, but it really feels good to be home. One thing I'd like to do is I would like everyone that's a Chittimoyo alumni to stand up. There's a lot of Chittimoyo alumni here today. Stand up. Good. Thank you. These people have all come, so you can make it too. They're still alive. I live in a country where we suffer grief every day. And I want to start by reading from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which persists, perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I live in a country that suffers from a lot of grief. A psychiatrist once said, if you live in Zimbabwe and you're not depressed at sometimes, you're not normal at all. In 2016, we've been running on the US dollar since 2009 as our currency, and the government started to run short of cash. And so they came up with a brilliant idea that they would make up a money and call it bond. And we will just tell everyone in Zimbabwe, it's the same as US money. So, that's like drawing a piece of chicken next to your rice and saying, I've decided this is chicken and I will eat it for dinner and it will taste the same as chicken because I said so. That's what the bond is. That's the money that we now live with. This is 5 US, this is 2 US. But if I tried to use it here, I don't think they would accept that. But only in Zimbabwe, you are supposed to be able to buy the equivalent with it. Quickly, long lines formed and people slept in lines overnight just to get what our limit now is $30 a week we can get in cash. And that's if you spend more than 2 or 3 hours in line to get it. But the good news is we're way ahead of you in America because we've become a cashless society. They want you guys to be, but you haven't been there like we have. So we have a swipe card, we have debit cards. And everywhere we go, we swipe. So we swipe for petrol, to buy our food in the grocery store, to go out to eat, anything and everywhere you swipe. Even if you get a ticket on the road by the police, you can swipe your ticket. And even if you go, there's people that sell like 3 tomatoes alongside the street or popcorn or phone cards. You can go there and buy with a swipe card. They have a swipe machine. So we're further advanced than you guys when it comes to a cashless society. The government is broke, and even though they've decided that all under fives and all over 65 should be given health care for free, they provide no money for that service. In 2 years, we have not received any expenditure money from the government to run our hospital. They do pay for most of our staff for the hospital, but for running the hospital, they do not pay us any money. We are supposed to get $4,500 quarterly to provide for maternity patients and children under the age of 5. Surprisingly, we found out that some years have 2 quarters in them. Some have 3. We've never seen 4 yet, but it's a quarter. AIDS is estimated to be at 16.8% in the country of Zimbabwe right now. And there was a high of 33% of the country was infected in the year 2000. However, it has been predicted that there is not enough money in the world to treat all the patients in Africa that need ART, and for that Africa has up to 60% resistant to first-line medication. Our roads are not in very good shape, and I know people in Sonoma County are complaining about the roads after all the rain this summer, this winter, and you're saying there's lots of potholes. This is a pothole, Sonoma County. This is what we have to deal with every day. Getting to town and bringing in supplies has always been a challenge to our vehicles and to our backs. In Zimbabwe, we say how you can tell a drunk driver is they drive straight. And it's quite interesting when you drive in Harare, to me it's like a video game, because you have to swerve to make so you don't hit the potholes, but there's people coming at you in the other lane who are also swerving, so they're in your lane, so you've got to get away from them while you go away from the pothole. You become very good at video games. Our church is having problems in the country in that it has divided into 2 groups about 2 years ago when some of the leadership felt that we needed a denomination set up where people who were at top, on the top would decide for local churches what they should do. Many times we ask ourselves, what do we have to rejoice? In 1 Peter, we're told, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. What do we have to rejoice in Zimbabwe? Many times we have to ask ourselves. But the wonderful thing is God has kept our hospital running and thriving through very difficult financial times. People flock to the hospital because they've heard of our good works, and even if they don't know the hospital, people tell them to go to Chittimoyo for help. The main central area, bus area in Harare where people can go to get a bus to anywhere in the country is called Mbari. If you go there sometime, you'll regret that you ever go there, but it's very busy, it's lots of people around. We've been told by people like, how did you come to our hospital? You're from so far away. And they said, I went to Mbari, they told me if you're sick, go to Chittimoyo, get on this bus. If they can't help you at Chittimoyo, just go home and die because there's nothing else that can help. I'm like, well, I don't know about that, but we live in the biggest province of the country, Mashonaland West, and we live in the biggest district of the country. And we have over 330,000 people in our district alone, and we are only the second hospital in the district. The first hospital is a government hospital in town, so we are serving all the rural area in our district. And we're right on the edge of another district, and so we serve them too. AIDS in Zimbabwe has decreased at Chittimoyo from, even though the country is 16.5%, we are at 5% in our general population in the area that we serve. And they keep coming and saying, you've got to find more people. And I'm like, where can I find them? And from a high of 22% in 2000, are pregnant women, it's less than 2.5% now at birth are infected. We were the second mission hospital in the country to provide HIV drugs for patients starting in 2003. This is a picture of some of my kids that have been born with AIDS who have been on drugs since birth. And we have over 600 children that are under the age of 20 on to the age of 5 that are on drugs. And we now have 5,100 patients on HIV drugs, which is the highest number even compared to our government hospital in Harare. We have had no baby born with AIDS at Chidimoyo Hospital for the last 21 months. We were the first hospital in the country to achieve this, and we hope by the end of the year that it will be 2 years in a row that we have had no baby born with AIDS. And we are beginning to see very little children between the age of 0 and 5 that have been infected. We have 62 churches in our area that we are responsible for, as Major told you. The last weekend in August, the first part of September, we had our national conference that we have every year, where the 62 churches are invited to Chidimoyo, and we have lessons. We start on Friday and end on Sunday. We have lessons and sermons and fellowship, and it's really an exciting time for us. It's usually the building is so packed, there's people sitting in the aisles, on the stage, in through the windows, everywhere. There's so many people. And it's a great time of fellowship. And we have two languages that our churches speak. And so even those who know Shona fluently, some of our churches, the 10-hour away churches, speak Tonga, which is a completely different language than Shona. So we have to translate twice in our services. So it's a great time of fellowship, and we can see the hope the church has given to our people. We have also been blessed in so many ways that God has given us non-Christians groups to make us even stronger. We are working with a rural schools development organization based in the UK that's built 5 schools in our area. And we recommended to them the areas where they build the schools, and then they build the schools, bring in water for the teachers, and build the teachers' homes. And then we're able to use those classrooms as churches. So we meet there for our churches. We also have built a brand new waiting mother shelter that houses over 90 women. They are supposed to come their last month before they deliver, so that they can be close when they go into labor. Some of them come even 2 months before if they have a lot of kids and husband they don't want to be with at home. They come even earlier. This whole building was built and provided by a group in Seattle called Lake Union Crew. They're a crewing group, and they came and devoted 6 weeks to spending to build this and provide it for us. We dedicated it in December 2016, and our delivery rate has increased 40% since then, because the women really enjoy coming and living in this building. The mayor of Koroi came out to see it and said to me, "This is too nice for women." I said, "Oh, that's a nice sexist statement." But I said, "Oh, it is? I thought it was something they really deserve." So it is very, very nice. In fact, men were saying, "I think I need to get my wife pregnant so she can enjoy this nice hotel." CDC, which is based in Atlanta, and PEPFAR, which was started by President Bush to give AIDS relief to Africa, has recognized our outstanding AIDS program and has paid for us to have 4 extra nurses. And furniture has remodeled one of our offices and given us supplies and diesel for our art outreach programs. And this has all been paid for by your U.S. tax dollars, so we thank you for that. Just before we left, we appointed our third doctor. He was hired just 5 days before we left, and his name is Dr. Calvin Moyo. And the government recognized that because of our patient load and how busy we are, that we deserve to have another doctor, so we've been very happy to add him to our staff. You know, when I first started there, I was the only nurse. That we didn't have any doctors for 9 years. And so to suddenly have three doctors has been wonderful. And I keep trying to talk them into, I don't need to be there all the time, and maybe I can have some more time off, and they're like, no, you gotta be here. So it's great. Also, the hospitals in the U.S. have donated lots and lots of supplies for us, and we want to especially thank Sue and Jean for all they've done for us. Chittimoyo needs to build them another garage, because they do not have a garage. They have not had a garage for years from all the stuff that is delivered to them, that they go and pick up. If they ever get sick in any hospital in Sonoma County, they'll be taken well care of, because they know them already. And those, they pack these containers. They just shut one this week that's leaving in a week to come to us. It takes about 3 months to get there. And we are so thankful for all that comes and is donated to us. We were in Seattle for the last 3 weeks, and a company called Sonic Care, which is owned by Fujifilm, donated two ultrasound, portable ultrasound machines to us. So we were able to carry them on the plane to come back to Santa Rosa. It was quite interesting going through the X-ray machine and them trying to figure out why we had two ultrasounds carrying with us. We said, you never know when you might need it on a plane. And what the only thing is, we forgot we had the gel in the package. So we had to dig through and get the gel out of there. Many of you know that our kitchen and laundry burnt down in November 2013, and it has been completely rebuilt. And you'll see the dining room on the left and the kitchen on the right. And while we were here, they came to install this industrial stove and two electric sudsa pots and a fan, an extracting fan. And they're installing cold rooms in there. So when we get back, we should be able to officially open the hospital kitchen. And the laundry has been completely redone too. So, and the government paid for that totally to be done. We are involved in two research projects right now, one that's been published and two more that are pending, with Stanford University. And they have been completely surprised that we've been able to prove to them that faith-based organizations have better outcomes and care than non-faith-based organizations. We have also been active in taking medical students from all over the world and teaching them third world medicine, but also witnessing to them how Christianity and praying with patients and praying in the operating room can help you be better doctors and nurses. And this year we've had medical students from the US, the UK, New Zealand, and Poland as visitors. So we are quite continental, and we have friends from all over the world now because of these students. We also were very blessed about a month ago to get a phone call out of the blue from the Japanese embassy in Harare, who said on the phone, would you like a digital X-ray machine? And I said, oh, let me think about that. Yes, when? And actually, we had been looking into it to see the price and the cost, and we said, well, someday when we have a lot of money, we might do that. It really makes a difference, because you don't have to develop film, so it decreases the cost of taking films, And for our patients, $20 a film is very expensive. So many times in a broken arm, we can only take one x-ray, the first x-ray, but then to take a follow-up one, they don't have the money for it. So this new digital x-ray machine is like a digital camera, so you can keep taking until you get the best picture you want, and it will cost our patients probably $5 to get an x-ray versus 20. So we've written all the application, they've come and done a site visit for us, and they have submitted it to Japan, and we are praying and hoping to get an answer in February that we have been granted this. It's a $93,000 donation. So we are very, very happy to have that. You know, we are told we have living hope again because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus rose from the dead, there is new hope in us. We need hope. The problems in our world are overwhelming. Hope is the opposition of fear. It is peace, and we have a known hope. In Zimbabwe, you have to be a Christian to have hope. If you don't have Christ, there's nothing to hope for in Zimbabwe. There's no hope in the government. There's no hope in the economy. There's no hope in a job. 90% of our people in our country are unemployed. How do people survive in a world without living hope? We don't know. We are promised an inheritance that will never fail, never perish, never fade, never spoil, and God is our ever-present help in our times of trouble. We are guaranteed that great joy is born out of suffering. And in Zimbabwe, we're looking forward to that great joy. When we see a woman deliver in our hospital, there's great suffering during that labor, but there's also great joy when the baby is born and the pain is over. We need to keep reminding ourselves that God is working and His purpose is the one that's going to happen in all things. We all grumble. We all complain. You can ask Major how I grumble. I grumble very loudly, and especially to him. And it's hard at times to remember to rejoice. And it's not nice when someone says, oh, rejoice in the Lord, after you've been grumbling all day. Life in Zimbabwe seems to have no hope. We get discouraged because we need money to run a hospital. We don't have it, but you know what? God seems to always provide. Sometimes I go to him and I say, we need to buy drugs. So what money can you give me? And he'll say, well, I can give you $1,000. And I'll say, oh, okay. So I call, I make the order, and I said, we'll be in tomorrow, we'll pick it up. And I'll come back and say, I ordered the drugs. And he said, okay, how much money should I send in? And I said, it was a little over $1,000. It was kind of like $2,900. And he'll say, what? And I'll say, oh, don't worry. I think we'll get the money somehow. Sometimes we charge at one company and promise to pay them and go to a different company too. That's how God helps us sometimes. And sometimes Sue gets frantic emails and says, I need money now. And she'll say, oh, I don't really have money. And within a day, she'll say, money came in, and I'm sending it to you today. God seems to provide for us, and we're thankful for you as a church who has supported us for 37 years. We couldn't survive without you. You care about a country and sick people you have never seen or met, many of you. You know, in Zimbabwe, we find lots of things to be happy about. If you don't laugh, you would be crying all the time in Zimbabwe. And you know, we think that in America, it's very boring here. It's so much more exciting in Zimbabwe, because when you go and put a switch on, the lights come on here. In Zimbabwe, you can put the switch up and they don't come on, and you're like, oh, the electricity's off. When's it coming? I don't know. It might be today, it might be an hour, it might be 3 days. We don't know. We have traffic signals that when you come to, the lights aren't working. And the best part is you don't know if the other side is working too. So you kind of drive into the middle of the intersection and hope the other side is not on green. And then you're like, oh good, they don't have a light either, and you can keep going. Sometimes you run red lights because you don't know that it's red. We also have a game that we play that you have to count how many roadblocks between Chittimoyo and Harare, our main city, which is 250 miles only. And we've been up to 22 roadblocks in that 250 miles. They're always looking to see if there's something wrong with the truck so they can fine you. Because they've got their swipe machine there, they want money. It's also very exciting when you have to send for groceries. Most of the time I have to write a list and send for groceries. As Major said, groceries in Zimbabwe are a little bit easier than here. If you ask for bread, you get a choice of white or brown. That's it. You want cheese, you get cheddar or Gouda. That's it. So it's not a lot of choice. So when you write your grocery order out to give it to the driver, you have to be very specific. So it's amazing sometimes what you get back when you write your order. I wrote that I wanted some cream, and he came home with ice cream. Not in a cool box and melted. I wanted butter, and I told him specifically, now don't buy margarine because that's what they like to buy, but I want butter, and it says butter on it. So he came home with peanut butter because that says butter on it. We had one of our missionaries who said, I wanted a case of soda. And he came home with 24 boxes of baking soda. And they said, where's my soda? And he said, it's right there. There's your soda. So you never know what you can get. So life is much more fun and unpredictable. You know, it's always a game to know what's going on and what you live through. Here we think it's too boring, it's too predictable here. Like in the stores, you can get something and you can say, where's this? Oh yeah, it's right there. If you go to Zimbabwe and you ask for something, even if they have it, they'll say, oh, I think it just finished. They don't even know where it is in the store. I think it just finished. Then you find it and then you're like, oh, that's what you wanted. So some of you today may be here without hope, and I want to assure you that I have hope for you. This church has hope for you, and Jesus Christ has hope for you. If you need someone to give you that hope, you don't have hope today, please come forward, speak to the minister, speak to us. We have hope that you need. We want to thank you for being our partner for all these years and helping us to have hope in a hopeless situation. We know that you pray for us. We feel it. Without you, we couldn't be there. And we pray for you and your church every day too, because we all need hope that Jesus has given to us. We are so thrilled to be here and to share with you and to see all of you. It's amazing. Nobody looks older. Isn't that wonderful that God does that to us? So it's really good to see, except the kids. The kids are grown up. So thank you for being here and today and sharing with us, and we're so happy to see many of our old friends that we've known for a long time. Some of us grew up for a long time in this church together. We were actually little kids here. So amazingly, the Sunday school teachers didn't kick us out too often. So thank you, and please remember, let's keep rejoicing even in times where we seem to have no hope. Thank you.
Kathy and Major, we praise God for you. We praise God for the longevity of your ministry and your faithfulness to what God has called you to do in a place far away from here. but a place where God is obviously active, and thank God for that. And Lord, thank you also to Sue and Jean and Patty and Gary and other people who have been so faithful in our church to help support you and to take care of you while you are over there. I know they're your lifeline, and we're grateful for that. So if you wouldn't mind, as a gesture of support, if you wouldn't mind extending your hand as we pray for Kathy and for Major. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we've had to be here in our church at Sebastopol Christian and to have these two missionary heroes come over to us and to be able to share their lives, their experiences, to be able to share what you are doing in them and through them and through this Chittimoyo Mission Hospital and the 62 churches that are being blessed throughout that region in Zimbabwe, hearing the good news of Christ, having that living hope that is based on the resurrection of Christ. Lord, in a place where here on earth there doesn't seem like there is much hope, Lord, you are the one who gives them hope to carry on and to keep serving day by day by day. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. We pray your blessing on them. Would you give them good health and energy and rest in the few weeks that they're still going to be here, and then bring them home safely so they can continue the work to which you have called them. And Lord, provide the hospital, provide the ministers, provide all of that mission work, the resources that they need. Lord, use us and use other people here in this country that we are obviously so blessed financially. Lord, I pray that we'll be blessed in order to bless others such as them. And we lift these prayers to you, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And together all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise God. You're already standing, so just remain standing. We're going to close in a prayer song of worship to our great God.
Just readjusting a second. All right, ready to clap your hands? Go out with a joyful noise. Here we go.
Great day of worship and hearing what God is doing through Kathy and through Major. I hope you'll get a chance to greet them before you leave today. If you remember the first song we sang, please go out this week and carry C-H-R-I-S-T and your H-E-A-R-T-S. Amen. God bless you.